if you have ever watched Around the Farm Table, you probably recognize that music. That's the kind of the theme music for the television program. And Inga Witcher is joining us today to talk about the show. Maybe we can talk about how the pandemic has changed small farm life. She's got some other things going for her, including the launch of some special cheese, which is, I got to tell you, it is really good. And she also there's also a new podcast to talk about. So are you a fan of Around the Farm Table? What questions do you have for Inga? Maybe you have some questions about that new cheese. I hope you'll join in the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Inga Witcher, welcome back. Nice to have you with us.
Larry, it's so nice to talk with you. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I am better than ever, I guess. And you sound great, too, but I'm wondering, how has the pandemic affected you in the last few months?
Well, I'm really used to sort of being in a quarantine, just being a dairy farmer, you know, and just being stuck on the farm all the time. So I'm really used to this alone time, and my husband's used to it, too. And so we've been just getting a lot of work done on the farm, and we've been starting to make cheese. So in May, all of our cows calved, and then it was the first time we were starting to milking in our new barn, because in 2018, we lost our barn to a fire. So we got back in to milking cows, back into getting up every morning and getting back in the routine thing. So it's been a nice sort of way to keep busy during this time.
Well, this whole fire and rebuilding, it's quite a story. Talk about what happened with the fire, and it sounds like you're up and running now, and that's great.
Sure. So we decided in early 2017 that we wanted to do a farmstead cheese on the farm. And what that means is basically you're milking those animals on the farm. You're taking that single source of milk and making it into cheese. And in order to do that, we needed to also be having a facility to make cheese on the farm. So we started to build a creamery in one of our existing buildings in our barn that, you know, was like a million years old. And the day before, in November, I think November 14th or something, we were getting ready to put the equipment in, the final equipment for the creamery, all the cheese making stuff. And that morning we woke up and the whole building was just completely on fire. And I used to think that, like, getting that phone call that your cows were on the road got you fed quick and on the ground. And it's really when your whole building's on fire. That is the quickest I've ever made it from my bed outside into the front yard. And that was just, you know, one of those setbacks. I'm so used to setbacks at this point in my life that the pandemic was like nothing. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, of course. But we took that time over the next few years and rebuilt everything. And it's just like, you know, it's a beautiful little humble barn and creamery now.
Yeah, and you call it the farm. You're operating what is called a farmstead creamery, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Somebody's
so
going to wonder, what is that?
So a farmstead creamery, and the name of our farm is St. Isidore's Dairy. We named the farm after the patron saint of farmers and gardeners, St. Isidore, because I felt like I could use all the help I could get. And having a patron saint looking out for you is always a good thing, right? So the St. Isidore's Farmstead Creamery is, we make one cheese, and we make a raw milk cheddar style, sort of the traditional British cheddar style cheese. And we make the cheese is all made from the milk of our 7 Jersey cows. So after the fire, we downsized our herd to a really manageable number of, right now we have 7 cows. And if you've ever milked cows, and I've milked a lot of cows in my life, milking 7 cows is like a dream. It is the most enjoyable amount of cows to be milking. We're actually milking 6, and then we had a cow calf, and I said to my husband the other day, I said, now we're milking 7 cows? I mean, this is crazy. This is like a lot of cows now. This is how nice it is. But so what we do is we take all the milk from our farm, from our little 7 cows, and then we take that from our bulk tank every other day, transfer that into our creamery, and we make our cheese. So farmstead is anything coming from that single source of milk on a dairy.
That is really cool. I was thinking about how many. I had to milk, I think we had somewhere around 70 cows to milk.
Yeah.
Morning and night. And that's...
it doesn't seem like a lot nowadays, right? It's like 70 cows is a small farm. But now I'm just thinking, I mean, that must have taken more than 20 minutes. I'm not going to be out in the barn for more than 20 minutes. That's crazy.
So how do you milk the cows, by the way? Are you a hand milker or you have milking machines, I expect?
We have milking machines. I had to milk by hand one time years ago when the power went out, and I will never do it again. It was, like, really difficult. But we milk into a bucket. So we have we have a unit. We put on the cow, and it milks the cow into the bucket. And why we're doing that is because we don't want to pump our milk. Because when you're pumping it, you're breaking up the fats in the milk. So if we can treat our milk gently, you know, we're putting all this effort into making sure that we have the best milk by grazing the cows on these really lush pastures and building up our soil so that our soil's healthy, so that our grass is healthy for the cows. So we don't want to get it then into the barn and then mishandle it. So we milk the cows into a bucket. And then luckily my husband is amazing and he's my step saver, if you will. So I hand him the bucket. And he walks with it and pours it into our bulk tank where it chills down until my dad and I start making cheese.
Well, it is, gosh, buckets. Yeah, that's.
Hey, I wouldn't do it unless I was married. I mean, if I had to haul those buckets by myself, I don't know.
it's a fair amount of work to do. And so you got a strong husband.
Yes, yeah. But it's a great way, you know, it's a great way to tell exactly how much those cows are milking because we had this fall flush recently where we put the cows out on our old garlic field and there's so much clover there and they came in and you can tell immediately when the cows go up in milk or if they go down in milk by just lifting up that bucket. It's just, it's a great way to tell what's going on with your cows.
It is not the scientific, well, I guess you could call it, it's a scientific way, I guess. You lift the bucket every day, you know how heavy it is.
Right.
So the cows, someone wonders, when the cows, do they milk the year round? They don't, there's a time when they're having young ones.
So we try to take 2 months off every year. The last 2 months of a cow's lactation, or sorry, of their gestation, is when they need to take a break. So if we can plan to cycle all of the cows together, get them pregnant at the same time, that means we're going to, quote unquote, dry them up at the same time. So hopefully we always get the same 2 months off every year. This year we're a little bit, we have a couple cows that are going to be calving in April 1st and a couple, and then the rest of them are going to be calving in I think May. So we'll have a month where we're just milking a few cows. A few cows, says the woman who milks 7 cows. What am I talking about? But we have, so we hopefully will be taking those 2 months off. But for us, we really want to capture the pasture. That's what we want to flavor our cheese. So we really want to make the majority of our cheese when we are grazing those cows.
We're going to talk some more about that pasture and about that cheese, which is delicious. I can tell you that from firsthand experience. Inga Witcher, our guest today, she hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. Great to have her with us. I hope you'll join in with your own questions for her. We're going to take a look at the news, the weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you in here with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Inga Witcher, our guest today. She is the host of Around the Farm Table. That's the theme music for Around the Farm Table. She owns and operates a small organic farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. The show will be re-airing past episodes starting this week while they get started on the new season's filming. And the show now has a podcast. We can talk about that, too. You can join in the conversation. Do you have a suggestion for Inga for a future show? Maybe a comment about the program itself, one that you really enjoyed. I'd love to hear from you. Give a call, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org, and definitely love to hear from you. Inga, you were talking, you keep your cows, you want your cows on pasture, basically. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. And I'm a fourth-generation dairy farmer. One of my earliest memories as a kid was just changing pasture with my dad. We would change pasture every 12 hours to allow the cows to graze on new grasses. They spread their own manure. It's like really wonderful. And so that's what I do here on my farm. It's called managed intensive grazing is one word for it. And there's so many different benefits, not only for, you know, I think one of the greatest benefits for myself is just to be able to go out every day and have that sort of meditative experience of being alone with the birds and the bugs and the cows and moving fence posts and just sort of having that deep breathing time. But also it allows for the wildlife surrounding our farm to have a place where they can find food, where they can nest. There's a lot of different grassland birds that need pasture to be able to nest in. They'll just like nest right on the ground. So when you have these farms that are doing this grazing, it's building habitat for all of these creatures that we need.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously it sounds like it's pretty important to you to have that wildlife.
Oh, for sure. It's without these critters and all these different things. So like without the monarch butterflies that we were seeing a little while ago, and just all these different all the bees that are native to this area or the bees that aren't native to this area. We need all these little key parts in our ecosystem to have food. Without these guys, we don't have anything, right? Without the pollinators and things, wipes out everything. So we have to really care about that part of our farms too. We have to really be setting aside habitat for those types of things to happen. And so I think as farmers, like I not only being a farmer, I don't only have to care about my animals. I really have to care about the nature that's surrounding us. And that's the water, that's the land, that's really the soil. And so there's, you know, and it's kind of a wonderful thing to be able to be a part of that system.
Yeah, and you're an organic farmer?
We are not certified organic anymore. We still do everything the same. We still farm organically, but it's just because we scale down, we're not shipping milk anymore. We feel like we can tell the story of what we're doing here on the farm without the extra costs that we would have to put towards our cheese by having it certified organic.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
No, and it's a lot of paperwork. And, like, no, thank you. You know, like, I didn't even want to do homework in school. Like, I'm not going to do it now. You know what I mean? Writing down everything.
And somebody else is wondering, what do you do in the wintertime then to feed your cattle?
We do hay. So now that we've downsized our herd from about 40, 50 cows down to our 7 cows, now we can set aside some areas that we take hay off of every year. So we took off about, I don't know, maybe 3 cuttings off about 10 acres this year. It felt like a lot more when I was unloading it. but now that this is a barn, it doesn't look like it's that much. And then now that we're not certified organic, I can purchase hay from a neighbor that does everything, you know, doesn't apply any fertilizer or any synthetic fertilizers or anything to the ground. They're not certified organic, but I'm not either. So I can purchase hay directly from my neighbors. And that's like another thing with the benefits of these farms in these rural areas is that we are putting our money back into our local economy, whether that's back into our local feed store, to our neighbors with the hay, to the hardware store, these different things. So it's like when we want to educate people through our television show or through our podcast or any of these things, when you're supporting farms like our farm or farms that you see on our shows, you're supporting that local economy and you're supporting the ecosystem around those farms. And I think that's important for the consumers to know, is that they can be a part of that support too by supporting these farms.
Yeah, absolutely. Inga Witcher, our guest today. Questions for her or comment, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. Let's, lots to talk about here yet. Let's talk about that new cheese, which is delicious. I tell you, I have, let's see, what did I do? When I got my little block of cheese there, I cut off a slice or two and just ate it that way. And then I had some on crackers. Then I decided I needed to make some toasted cheese sandwiches. And I put that cheese in along with a tomato out of my garden. And I made toasted cheese sandwiches. And I've got an apple cheddar soup that I like to make, especially this time of the year with the apples in season. And I'm going to use some of that cheese in my apple cheese soup. So I'm really like it a lot. Maybe you could describe it for our listeners.
I love that you're finding all these different uses for it. Our cheese is sort of like a classic sort of sharper British style. I love everything British too, Larry. I should just mention that. Like, if I could just walk around doing a fake British accent with my dog and my wellies, just walking through the hills, I would absolutely do it. So what we're trying to do with this cheese is have it sort of mimic those traditional great British cheeses. And as it ages, it's going to change. So the kind that you just got was a 3-month-old cheese. So it's already taking on those sort of characteristics of that cheddar with that sharpness to it. It's starting to develop that sharpness. And as it ages, it's going to start changing a little bit. What I like to say is, like, there's a sweetness from the pastures in the cheese because we're using Jersey milk, which I think traditionally the cheddar was made with milking shorthorns that in England. Back in the old country in England, they made it with milk and shorthorns. So our butter fat, I just had it tested. It's 5.29.
Ooh.
So it's like basically just drinking cream, which is amazing. And that gives our cheese a different characteristic because of it's so creamy. And the color it's so different because of what the cows were, you know, what stage of their lactation they were in, where they're what pasture they're eating in it, but it has that beautiful sort of like deep yellow. And like, I'm so excited about our cheese. I don't have any kids, but this is like my thing that I made, you know. I feel like I went through the whole process, except for my cheese is not as irritating as I think I was as a child to my parents, but I really love it. Like, it's the whole process of going through from start to finish of making the cheese. And one thing that I didn't expect was how much we would love melting it on things. And so now we're just like, this is what we have for dinner every night. This is like you said, like a toasted cheese sandwich with a tomato. And it's just really fun.
It's so good. And I've already had somebody wondering, you know, where can we buy your cheese? And for listeners who live in the Madison area, you're having a release event for your cheese. Is that right?
Yes, we're going to. So we've worked with Fromage Nation in the past when we were experimenting with the same cheese years and years ago. And they've been such a great place for cheesemakers like me and so many around the state of Wisconsin to have a place to sell their cheese. And they're right off the square in Madison. We're going to be doing an outdoor event there on National Raw Milk Cheese Day on October 17th. That's Saturday. At 11 o'clock, and it's going to be an outdoor event. Please, if you want to come, wear a mask. We're going to be socially distancing and just being very, very safe. But that's going to be the first time we're going to be having our cheese for sale. And then people can find it after that online at Fromage's website.
Well, yeah, what a great place to have that kind of event, because that's a wonderful business, Fromage.
For sure. I love it. I love Fromage Nation because every person that's behind the counter, all the cheesemongers, they are so educated with what they're doing. They know so much. And it's just like being told a story when you walk in there and say, well, what about this cheese? And this is the story of this cheese. And that's why, like, we're so excited to have our cheese there, because we want people to know the story behind our cheese. We not only want them to fall in love with the flavor of it, but also we want them to fall in love with our cows, with, you know, our farm, with the terroir of Western Wisconsin.
Mm. Kevin in Brooklyn, Wisconsin, up with a question. Hi, Kevin. Thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me, Larry. I just had a quick question about how Inga manages the manure of the cows and if they use it to their benefit and what kinds of things they use it for.
Mm-hmm. Right. Great question. So what we do is the cows are outside pretty much all the time, except for when they're milking. So during the summertime, we're doing that 12 hours rotation. So they're spreading their own manure. If there is any manure in the barn when we're milking, we gather that up and I just put it in the bucket of my skid steer and I just spread it out, you know, after a couple of milkings or whatever. And then in the wintertime, what we've been doing is we've been bale grazing. So what that means is we have our cows, they have access to a shelter to get into if there's like a lot of snow or if it's windy, but they prefer to be outside even in the wintertime, which makes one of us, you know, I don't know that I love it. But so I put bales out in certain spots of our farm where I want to get that extra nutrients so that when they're standing there eating during the, you know, when they're not milking, they're standing there eating their food. They're maybe laying on an old hay bale, you know, where I bale grazed maybe the day before. And so they're actually concentrating their manure out there in the fields where I'm looking for that extra nutrients. It's a really like low technology way for me to get around to all these different spots where I want to get that extra, the nutrients from the manure. And then the springtime, I can take the skid steer and a pitchfork and pitch any of the remaining, if there's a lot of old hay from where they were laying, I can pitch that in. And then I just, I hand seed in some clover. And actually this spring I did a whole section, a whole section with like 30 feet. And then my mom came out, and my dad and I hand-seeded it in the clover, and then my mom drove over it with her car so she could get that soil to seed contact for us. So it's kind of fun.
that's kind of the low-tech way to do it. But it sounds do you ever do a soil test?
We do soil tests, yeah, once every couple of years. But I think, just being here, I've been on this farm for, 14 years, Larry. I can't even believe I've been milking cows that long here. So I can just tell just by looking where I need and what I need. And then, it's like, I know I could bring in some lime here or there, but maybe when I start selling cheese and having it come off the farm, I can start doing stuff like that.
So there you go, Kevin. Thank you so much for calling. Diana in Platteville, let's go to you now. Hi, Diana.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My sister, Kathy, is a big fan of yours, Inga, and unfortunately, she doesn't have access to a radio today, so she wanted me to ask you some questions so I could report back to her.
Okay. go for it, Diana.
Yeah. So I have a little bit of a list. So she was wanting me to ask if you had rebuilt your barn yet.
Yes, we finished rebuilding actually on New Year's Eve was our last nail in the barn, and we started milking in there in May. So everything's back up and going.
She'll be happy to hear that. And then you've been talking about cheese with Larry, and am I correct to understand that you are making cheese and that is available for purchase?
Yes. So we are making cheese, and our first release date on our cheese is going to be on October 17th from Imagination in Madison. And then after the 17th, it will be available online at From Imagination. So she doesn't have a chance to run down there. She can get a hold of it online. I love your sister. She's fantastic, by the way.
Oh, she loves you. When we get back to having public appearances and you are available to come back out into the communities, you will surely run into her again because she loves your presentations. And then her last question was, I believe you talked about this earlier, and I'm sorry I tuned in late to the show, but your programs are going to be airing soon on public television.
We're going to be re-airing some of our last programs, and I think they're going to pick and choose some different ones throughout our past seasons. Because of COVID, we all kind of hunkered in, and we didn't even start filming until maybe a month ago. We were able to do some filming here at my farm, and then so we wanted to re-air some of those shows so that we can just stick with the schedule of around the farm table in the fall, and then we're gonna have some new episodes coming in next year, 2021. Yeah.
I think the latest one I saw a couple of promotions for it on public TV. I think goats are going to be highlighted coming up.
Yeah, that everyone loves goats. That was like one of my favorite episodes to film because goats are just amazing. They're just so fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I did see it. I thought I'm going to watch that one again. That was a good one. Diana, thank you so much, and thanks to your relative for all those good questions as well. You should mention the podcast because Diana might be interested in that as well. You've got a podcast going?
Right. So we just started a podcast. It's called Around the Farm Table, and it was just like another way for us to reach different listeners and things like that to let them know what's going on farms. And one of the things we always want to do is just continue to tell the stories of these farmers, continue to educate the public on where their food is coming from, how that's being grown. And it's so interesting, the two podcasts that we've released, both farmers, the first thing they're talking about is soil health and how we can't have healthy soil without healthy, or we can't have healthy people without healthy soil. And they're, these farmers, they're thinking about your health more than you ever will. You know, they're thinking about what you're putting into your body by what they're growing, and they want to make it as healthy as possible. And so we just wanted to give like another platform to sort of highlight these farmers in Wisconsin.
And I want to go back to the show for a minute because I've heard that the show has also been nominated for an Emmy. Congratulations.
Yeah. I know, it's so exciting. So we got nominated for one of our shows that this last year called Preserving the Summer, where we went around and picked some fruit from some folks, went to a friend of ours growing tea, and my cousin Cece and I made some jam, and that was nominated for a Midwest Emmy. So one more thing I never thought was going to come out of my mouth is, hey, we got nominated for a Midwest Emmy. So we're just like so thrilled.
It's great and well deserved as a matter of fact. Let's talk about, and so the Emmy, I'm sorry, the podcast itself, you're going to just go off on wherever you want to. How do people get the podcast?
They can find that they can find it anywhere they can find podcasts. So like on my phone, like I have a little purple app that says podcast. And if you go to that little app and then search Around the Farm Table, you'll see me with a little Jersey calf, and you can subscribe to the podcast there. You can't miss it. I might be the only one with a Jersey calf next to my face on the podcast listing.
Oh, my goodness. And so what's up? What's up in the immediate future? I suppose getting ready for your October 17 event, because that's only 12 days away.
Well, now that you put it that way, I probably should hang up and go out there and start getting the cheese ready. We're doing that. So we're making, like, actually right now we're making cheese. My dad came out this morning, helped me get started. And then now my husband should be, if you're listening, honey, you should start turning the cheese and checking the pH. He's doing the cheddaring process right now. He's not listening, by the way, I'm sure. But he's doing the cheddaring process. And then in a few minutes after I get off the phone with you, I'm going to start milling the cheese, adding the salt to it. We milled a curd in a peg mill, which is a British style, of course it is, Inga, a British style peg mill that when we put these, we have these slabs of cheese during our cheddaring process, and then we put them through a mill, and then that's when like the cheese curd's created. But our cheese curds look a little bit different than a traditional cheese curd, a traditional Wisconsin cheese curd, I should say. So they're shaggier, and then when we press the cheese at the end of the day, it kind of presses together in a different way. So if you take that cheese when you have it, you can kind of break it up, you can kind of see where it pressed together, which is kind of fun too.
Jane from Appleton wonders if you're going to also sell it locally in Osseo or in the Fox Valley, Appleton area or Eau Claire.
Well, right now we're just going to focus on Fromage Nation, and then we're going to see where to go from there. We have to let so much of it just age and get started on it. But we're definitely open to other places. I was kind of, one of my things was I wanted to start doing, or well, last year I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be doing all these different events, and then we can take our cheese around the state and, you know, have people experience it around the state. But with COVID, we're kind of locked down. So at this time, we're just going to be selling it through Fromage Nation at the moment. And like I said, you can get it online. And then hopefully everything will be fine by next year, knock on wood, and we can have an event here at the farm.
Well, I tell you what, it's always a fun talking with you, and your cheese is delicious. I'm loving your cheese, and I'm going to think about you when I'm having that apple cheese soup tomorrow night.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's always such a great time talking with you.
Inga Witcher from Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. Now she's got some cheese going for her. She's got a podcast. Lots of things that she's always a busy person, and it's always fun talking with her. And she'll be back, and we'll talk with her again for sure. Tomorrow, WPR sports reporter Megan Hart joins me, and we'll talk a little about Wisconsin sports. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.